quiet, please. Quiet, please. Mutual Broadcasting System presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please for tonight is called Meeting at Ticonderoga.
No, sir. They were not married. Yeah, they never saw each other in life. I suppose they're buried in the same cemetery lot because each one of them is a legend in these parts. Jane McRae. You'd think that's Scots, wouldn't you? I don't know, but there's a Scots flavor about the McRae. And you cannot deny that his name is as Scots as Claymore and Skeen do. I didn't know so much about Miss McRae, save that she was massacred by the Indians about the time of Saratoga, which, as you know, is not so far away from here. She was to have married an officer in Gentleman Johnny Burgoyne's army that come down for the North and that Benedict Arnold tore into ribbons, although Horatio Gates took the credit and later laid the foundation for Benedict's defection. Miss McRae was a famous beauty of the region, and they killed her and scalped her and paraded her long tresses about. It was the story of her barbarous death that stirred the people of the countryside to rally at Saratoga for one of the decisive battles of the world. But him... No, he was before that time. Me? No, I'm not for this town. I'm from Saratoga. You've been there. Aye, so. Can you... read the inscription on his gravestone? Here lies the body of Duncan Campbell of Inveraw, Esquire, Major to the Old Highland Regiment, age 55 years, who died the 17th of July, 1758, of the wounds received at the attack of the retrenchments of Ticonderoga, or Carry On. Yes, retrenchments, that's what it says. Should be entrenchments, of course, but I suppose the village stonecutter in those days wasn't used to military terms. The old Highland Regiment. That was the Black Watch. The oldest Highland Regiment in the British Army. The 42nd Regiment of Foot. The bunny lads that have worn the red hackalabuna braid bonnets in 1795. And Duncan Campbell of Inveraw was its major under Lieutenant Colonel Francis Grant in 1758. And he and many a good Highland laddie of the Black Watch was killed at Ticonderoga. No, that was before Ethan Allen's time. Yeah, the fort was just newly completed in the summer of 1758. And it was 17 years before Ethan Allen took it away from a sick man and a garrison of 20 soldiers. Montcalm was in command of Ticonderoga that summer. Aye, the same man that Wolfe defeated at Quebec later. Abercrombie was the British general. Yes, I know a good deal about it. I'm an old inhabitant of these parts. About Duncan Campbell of Inveraw now. A good man. A thoughtful man, God-fearing, good to all his fellows. It was his goodness that brought him to his death, so that he sleeps far away from the banks of the River Aw, with no descendant in all the world to mourn him. Have you the time, then? I'll tell you. Duncan Campbell had been casting up his accounts that night in the old hall of Inveraw House, and he sat alone on the night that was to seal his fate, all unknowing. Can I see him, friend? A great, kindly, lonely man at an oaken table, scratching away at his papers with his quill in the candlelight. The shadows flickering aboon his head in the gloom, picking out tiny flashes of silver on the basket hilts of the bread clamores upon the wall. Can I you see him start to his feet at the sound of someone knocking, hammering on the great door along the Inverall house in the middle of the night? And plucking up one of the little pistols they call Scots dags and striding to the door in the dark to see what manner of man has come at this hour to call upon the laird of Inverall. And unbolting the door and flinging it open to whatever should be outside.
Let me in.
Oh, gently, gently, man. Who are you?
They're out after me. Quick, shut the door. Lock it, for the love of heaven.
There. Now, friend, I'd say you're safe. At least for the moment.
You won't let them get me.
Oh, what have you done, lad?
Murder.
Murder, eh? Well, murder's been done before in Scotland. Had you a good cause?
As good a cause as any man ever had.
And you were seen.
Will you hide me?
No man has ever claimed hospitality of me without receiving it.
Will you hide me?
Well, come with me. Oh, you hurt yourself.
It's nothing.
Well, you fought then?
Yes, we fought. Listen.
What did you hear?
Horse, I thought.
Be still. Aye, you were right, man.
They're coming.
Oh, we haven't much time. Well, let me see.
Don't let them in.
Here, come with me.
They're coming here. They're coming here. Do you hear them?
Aye, I hear them. But dinna fash yourself now. I'll pick your wasses. Nobody will find you.
What?
I said I'll hide you.
What do you mean? Nobody will ever find me.
Well, just what I said.
Oh, you just meant hide me.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, I thought...
Man, did you think I meant I'd hide your body? A Campbell of Inverawe has not yet been accused of treachery, man.
I didn't mean it. They are coming here.
Gang inside.
What's this place?
Dinna show your face at yon window. And sit you quiet here, and I'll come and fetch you something to eat when they're gone.
You won't let them get me.
I've given my word, man, and I dinna like to hate duty by any man. I wouldn't turn you over to him.
Swear it, then.
Look, I'm not accustomed to swear such things. My word's good enough for my own folk. Should be good enough for you.
No. Swear you'll keep me safe. There they are. Swear to me.
Oh, well, then. I answer a fool according to his folly. I swear upon my dirk that I will never betray you to mortal man. There. Is that enough? Now, stay a wall frae the window and frae the door. Oh, come on, go to the door in case they suspect.
And so on such a night, Duncan Campbell of Inverawe drees his weird. Thus, by his pride and his own honor, he draws his fate upon him, friend. For this nameless man who found sanctuary in the house of Inverawe, this nameless slayer in the night, his is the hand of death. They who waited upon Duncan Campbell at midnight were kinsmen of his. And they were out upon the braes in the darkness searching the countryside for one who had slain a kinsman. The man who had murdered Donald Campbell, blood kin to the Laird of Inverawe. And the description of the murderer was that of the man who lay in the upper room and trembled at the sound of angry voices in the hall. Aye, hot tears started from the eyes of Duncan Campbell at the grisly news of his cousin's passing in hot blood and the thought of his own impotence in the matter. I know in these latter days men make little of an oath. And besides, it is true that Duncan Campbell had good cause to break his solemn sworn word when he knew that he sheltered the red-handed murderer of Donald. But
I have not seen the murderer.
Belike his heart shuddered at his words. His gorge rose that he must say them. I have said Duncan Campbell of Inverawe was an honorable man. A man whose word was sacred. And whose oath was triply sacred.
I have not seen the murderer.
And the kinsman turned away into the night, satisfied. And the rising moon struck sharp glints on the naked broadswords as they mounted and rode again. And Duncan Campbell returned again to the little upper room.
They went away. You didn't tell them.
Wish, man. I'll hear speech with you now. And for the last time, you are no Scot, or you could not know how sacred is the bond between kinsmen. You could not know how it's my immemorial duty to take your life...
No!
...for the one you have taken, my cousin.
No, no, don't kill me. You swore.
Oh, peace. I swore, aye. And I could tear my tongue out for the words that I said. But you'll not die by my hand, nor because of any words I'll say.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Oh, be still. At the first light of dawn, I'll take you away to the mountain where you can hide yourself until my cousins are sure you have escaped.
No, no, let me stay here.
I will not have my cousin's slayer in my house.
They'll find me.
They will not. I have sworn, and I will keep my oath.
In the great master's room at Inverawe stands an ancient canopied bed, and Duncan Campbell tossed sleepless upon it until at last his tired body could hold out no more, and he slept. Then it seemed to him as he slept that he heard light footsteps approaching the door of his room from the balcony outside. And in the darkness, his door opened and a man came in. And for a long time, there was no sound until Duncan Campbell raised himself upon his elbow and looked upon the face of his murdered cousin. And though the room was black dark, he could see the gouts of blood upon his cousin's plaidie. And at long last...
Who's that?
Inverawe.
Who's that?
You know me, Inverawe. Duncan, murder has been done. The blood of your kinsman has been shed.
Aye, Donald.
Shield not the murderer, Inverawe. The morning was very near. And with the first light, Duncan Campbell awoke from his fitful sleep and went to the secret room where the murderer lay. Duncan Campbell might have slain the man as he slept, but he did not. Out across the braes to the slopes of Encroke, and he led the man. And never a word did he speak until they'd come to a secret cave high above the Valley of the Awe.
Here you will be safe.
Don't leave me here. Take me back.
No.
Please take me
back. Oh, hacky man. Aki, last night, one came to me in a dream. The man you murdered.
Oh, no.
And he spoke to me.
Oh, no.
And I know I'm in danger of my immortal soul.
But you...
For he knows I've hidden you.
No.
And he bade me, shield not the murderer.
No, no, no.
Well, will you give yourself up?
No. No, no, you swore. You swore. Aye.
So... And I'll keep my oath.
And on a second midnight, the ghastly figure of Donald Campbell came again to haunt his cousin who held his honor above the ancient duty of vengeance for a slain kinsman. And again Duncan Campbell spoke of his oath, and the figure vanished. Then again, a midnight when the storm lashed the slopes of Benkroken, and the wind howled above the eaves of Inverawe House, and the laird lay alone in the canopied bed.
I can't break my oath, Donald. Oh, I didn't ken it was you had slain. I tell you.
Shield not the murderer, Inverawe.
Oh, what can I do? You wouldn't have me break my given oath.
A blow for a blow, Inverawe. And blood for blood.
Nay. Oh, I can't do it.
Then farewell, Inverawe.
No, I can't. I can't.
Farewell. Until we two shall meet at Ticonderoga. And on the morrow, in the brightness of the sun above a storm, Duncan Campbell climbed the slopes of Encroken again. No man can say what was in his mind, But he carried his great battle claymore, and its shining blade mocked him as he made his way up the mountainside to the little hidden cave. The murderer was gone. And no man has ever found him. Yes, Ticonderoga was the name the ghost spoke to Duncan Campbell that night, more than 200 years ago. And Duncan Campbell, or any Scot for that matter, had ever heard that name before. For at that time, Ticonderoga was a name that only the Indians knew. And there was no fort there where the waters flow between Lake George and Lake Champlain. And mind you, it is clear that Duncan Campbell heard that name many years before any other white man in the whole world. It is written down in his handwriting long years before he came to America. About that time, 10 companies of Highlanders were banded together in a regiment to watch upon the braes. And the Earl of Crawford gave his name to the regiment. But soon they became known as the Black Watch, from the dark regimental tartan they wore, and wear to this day. And among the gentry that became members of the Black Watch was Duncan Campbell of Inveraw. In the years since the ghost of his cousin spoke to him, Duncan Campbell had become a more dour man, a man hag-ridden by his conscience. And I can imagine him one day calling his kinsmen together, speaking to them as this thing that rankled in his breast. I can imagine the elder of the clan sitting in judgment upon him.
Inveraw, ye acted aright. It is a sad thing that you didn't know the man had murdered your ain cousin. For gin ye had, ye'd have slain him yourself. And justice would have been done. But a Campbell's word, yin's given, may not be broken despite all provocation. And I say that you have acquitted yourself with due honor. That is my judgment. Still in awe, I wouldn't have been happy to have on my soul. Well, this Ticonderoga that your cousin Donald spoke of, you haven't heard of the place ever, you say?
No.
Nor I. Well, is there such a place?
Well, I dinna ken. But the name is forever in my mind.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have fashed myself about it more, Inveraw. For it's well known that the dead have wisdom not vouchsafed us who walk the earth. And it may be that this is another name they have for the afterlife. Go your way, Inveraw, and fear not. Ye are a man of honor.
Sir Duncan Campbell took some comfort from his elder's words. Slowly the name Ticonderoga faded out of his memory. He served honorably and well in the Black Watch, and the day came when he became its major. Major he was when the regiment sailed for the Americas to fight in what people call today the French and Indian War. Abercrombie commanded the British and the Provincials. They were in camp down at Albany, and they marched northward. It was a braw sight with the Black Watch in front, their pipers in the bright red Stuart tartan bravely skirling cock of the north. The white gaiters of 1,000 men swinging along beneath the dark cloud that was the 12-yard Black Watch plate. Northward they marched in the summertime, and the hearts of the country folk were gay, because this was the army that would end the depredations of the savage Indians and the fierce Frenchmen. And there was an evening in a village along the way when the men walked in little groups through the town, gawking at the strange customs of the colonials. Major Duncan Campbell himself walked along a flower-scented lane, and there was a young girl who spoke to him.
Good evening to you, soldier.
Why, good evening, my child.
You're a Scotchman, aren't you?
I'm not. Free the Black Watch.
We never saw any Scotch before. Do all Scotch people wear dresses like that?
Aye, most, yes. Yes, they were forbid, but no more.
They look strange on a man.
Aye, well, we wouldn't feel at home in breeks, you can.
What?
What's your name, lassie?
Ellen.
Ellen, eh? Yeah. Have a lass at home that's about your own age.
A daughter?
Aye. Her name's Seanad. I haven't seen her for a year.
Is she pretty?
Aye. Her hair's darker than yours.
Does she wear a dress like you?
Oh, no. In Scotland, girls wear skirts. But we're not savages, you can.
We're glad you're here.
Well, thank you, lassie.
Will you be coming back this way?
Coming back?
After you take Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga. A name almost forgotten. Conjured up out of nothing by a girl in a strange American village. Duncan Campbell had never heard the name in the army.
They said we were to attack at Fort Carillon.
Aye, that's what the French call it, Duncan.
Aye, but the girl said Ticonderoga.
Aye, that's the Indian name of the place.
Yeah, have you heard the name Ticonderoga before?
Why, I think so.
Oh. Is anyone else?
Believe so, Duncan.
And you were keeping it a secret from me.
Duncan, the real name of the place is Carillon, I tell you.
Ticonderoga.
Until we meet at Ticonderoga. I wish you could have seen it, friend. More than 15,000 men loading into boats at Fort Edward on a summer's day. The Highlanders, the Royal Americans, the 17th, the 46th, a dozen British regiments and more provincials, loading into boats to make their way up to Ticonderoga. And Abercrombie himself called Major Duncan Campbell of Inverwell into his quarters as the loading began, spoke to him of Ticonderoga, for he had heard the story too. Abercrombie told him he was keeping two companies of the Black Watch at Fort Edward.
My duty is with my regiment, sir.
Abercrombie told him he had heard the story. He did not wish to risk the loss of a brave officer.
Sir, whether or not R.D. is of small moment, I have my honor to consider.
And Abercrombie, who had done his best, could do no more. And in the first of the boats rode Duncan Campbell of Inveragh, Major of the Black Watch. There was a landing at the cove below Ticonderoga, and the British columns hacking their way through the forest. And there was the first brush with the Frenchmen and the death of a beloved officer, Brigadier General George Howe. There was a long struggle against the blackness of the woods, the regiments hopelessly entangled, and the weary way back to the landing. And the French, waiting implacably up there at the unfinished fort, building their earthworks, cutting down trees, sharpening their bayonets, weighing out their powder, waiting for the assault. And a British general who should have known better, for his attack on Ticonderoga was childish. Many men died for his foolishness. But that's past. Let me tell you of Duncan Campbell, who lies buried here. It was dark in the forest, and Duncan Campbell and his friend were searching for soldiers that had straggled away and found themselves in a hopeless wilderness of trees. The eminence of Ticonderoga weighed heavy on Duncan Campbell's heart.
I've made my will.
I think you're worrying about this too much, Duncan.
No.
It was only a dream.
Perhaps. But he said Ticonderoga. Yeah. And that was, how many years ago? No, this is where I'd be.
The ghost didn't say this is where you'd be.
I didn't need to. I ken it well. No, we're off here, we Scots. And we ken the hand of fate. I wouldn't have chosen it this way, but this is the way it's to be.
And, well, I'm content.
Yeah, we should forget.
No. It cannot be forgot. I shall not go away from here.
Or shall we go back to the shore? There cannot be any more soldiers out here now. And if there are, they just have to stay.
Aye, so. War's cruel, we men.
Aye.
Hey, wait.
Eh?
There's a soldier.
Where? I didn't see it.
By yon tall bush. A Scot, too. Hey there, you.
I didn't see anyone, Duncan.
He's sitting there, probably falling asleep.
Hey.
Oh, I'll run over and wake him. How some of these gillies can fall asleep anywhere, anytime.
Where are you going? I didn't see it.
Hey, soldier. Hey, come on, wake up. Come on, man, wake up. What? Oh.
Aye, Duncan. We're well met.
Where did you see this soldier, Duncan?
You see anybody?
What? Of course not.
Hey, Donald. We are well met.
That is the story, and it's true. Here lies Duncan Campbell of Inveraw, who died of wounds received at the attack on Ticonderoga. He was a good man, was Inveraw. No, thank you. I must go back to Ticonderoga. Oh, I don't mind the walk. I'm used to it. I visit Duncan's grave every day. Have for years. My name? My name's Donald Campbell. I'm Inveraw's cousin.
Listen to Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
And J. Pat O'Malley, whom we're always glad to welcome on Quiet, Please, was Inveraw. Others in the cast were Norman Mackay, Ellen Fenwick, Court Benson, and Ted Osborne. Original music for Quiet, Please is composed and played by Albert Berman. Now, for a word about next week's Quiet, Please, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
My story for next week is called A Night to Forget. It's about a man who wished he could and couldn't.
And so, until next week at this same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
Quiet, Please comes to you from New York. This is the world's largest network serving more than 450 radio stations, the Mutual Broadcasting System.